can you tell me the story again?
We're alive.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Alive.
Just dancing over there.
Yeah. Okay. Can't you hear that music?
No.
Probably
if
there is any, but that's okay. It's
all in my head. Okay. All right. Well, hey, everybody. I'm Jeff.
I'm Rachel.
This is Grandma Tell Me a Scary Story, the podcast.
Woohoo.
We are not a musical, Rachel.
I don't know why not.
Despite what you want to be.
I can't sing, so it's probably fine. Can't dance either.
Yeah, well, welcome back if you've been here a while. Welcome if you're new to the show.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah. Like I said, last episode, I'm going to start this off with a review from this. I'll look at the other places later, when we're not actually live reporting this.
That's fine. Give us a review. Tell them how much they love me.
Yeah. So this is another 5-star review.
Yay!
Like, I don't care if you leave us 5 stars. I would like that, but I'll read the reviews even if it's a 1-star.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you do. For other places, why not do it for us? It's really fair.
That's true.
So, this is from JD3MF. This is also an older one. JD. Like,
I wish I knew these people.
Yeah. So, this is also an older one.
Okay.
Like, and you'll realize how old it is once I read the review.
Oh, no.
They date it very well.
Oh, no.
So, they wrote, love it.
Okay.
And they go on to say, I really like what you two do. You sound like you're having a good time with each other. We try. I love the stories you two do and plan to listen to a bunch more. The only thing I think needs to change is the length of the intro song. It's too long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we changed that a while ago.
Yeah, we did.
That's why I'm like, you'll know. This is an old one. And I'm sorry we're just now reading it on live. Like I said, I've read them all before. So it's other than that, I see you two going far. Keep it up. I really appreciate your podcast.
Aw.
Yeah, that's really nice. And hopefully you like the new intro.
Hopefully you still listen.
Hopefully, well, that kind of goes with saying, I hope you like the new intro. Like, I hope that one's better.
Yeah.
I like our intro better now. Now that it's not like a full 3-minute song that I've cut awkwardly in half.
Yeah.
It was just so hard to find, like, a clip that was good.
I know. Well,
like, the song is good. Like, yes, definitely go.
It was all good. It was just a little longer than
I was anticipating. But, like, I tried to cut it in other places, and it was really awkward. Like, that was the least awkward way I could do it.
Intros are hard.
They are, surprisingly.
Yes.
So, disclaimer before I start.
Oh, jeez.
I am going to butcher the heck out of these names.
Oh, good. Where are we?
What?
Where are we going?
We're going to Japan.
Oh, yay. You might butcher them.
I'm going to butcher the hard.
Okay. We're going to try.
So, just know that I'm not doing that intentionally. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just an idiot.
Okay.
A good-natured idiot.
I can work with that.
Okay. So, we are going to go over the player story of Yotsuya Kaiden.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
So, it is a very famous, possibly the most famous, ghost story from Japan. This has everything, this story. It's got betrayal and murder and revenge.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm in.
Yeah.
So, let's go.
So its influence has created over 30 films and still influences the Japanese horror genre to this day.
What?
Yeah.
Why don't I know what this is? Maybe I do and I just don't.
You might. I don't
realize
know.
I do.
So, it was written by Suriya Nanboku IV
in
1825. I was not dyslexic for this note, which is good.
Fair.
It was originally a kabuki play.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know what a kabuki play is,
no idea.
It's a theater style that's from Japan where the actors are heavily made up in face paints, and it's very dramatic. Normally people want to give 10 out of 10 when they perform. These people want to give like 15 out of 10. Like they are that over. Yes. Like that's part of what sells it, I think. So it was originally called Ghost Story of Yotsuya in Tokaido.
Okay.
Now it's generally translated as Ghost Story of Yotsuya.
Okay.
So, it was first performed in July of 1825 at the Nakamura Theater in present-day Tokyo as a double feature with another popular production at the time. So basically, what they would do is typically they would go play one, then play two.
I like that.
But they parted the tradition for these two plays, and they interwove them over 2 days. So you'd get, like, first half of play one, first half of play two. Then next day you'd finish the stories off.
Sure. I don't know if I'd like that as much. I think I'd be confused.
So this play quickly became so popular that they actually had to schedule out-of-season productions to meet the demands of people wanting to see it.
That's crazy. But cool.
And part of the reason was this is it took the ghosts of Japan from their vaulted cathedrals and noble houses and brought them to the masses. It was like the first play that was like, hey, this isn't just for noble people. This is for everyday people.
Right. Of course.
So over the years, obviously with most things, the play has changed and it's morphed so that it's like the basic bone structure's there. But a lot of the meat of the story's been changed and altered, so it's hard to see what it was originally.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, the core of it's still there. So, now for the story.
Yes.
So, once again, I'm going to just say I'm going to butcher these names. I think I've done an okay job so far, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know, I guess. So,
Tamiya Aimon, who's a wandering samurai, was meeting with his father-in-law, Yotsuya Samon, and they were in a heated argument about Aimon's wife, Oya. Basically, the father-in-law tells Aimon that he needs to separate from his wife because you guys, like, they're just ranting and raving. Like, it's clear that they don't like each other. He doesn't like his wife anymore. Like,
okay.
So upon hearing this, Aimon becomes furious and kills his father-in-law.
Oh.
Yes. So then the scene does a hard shift to a brothel where Oya's sister is a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
A frequent customer of the brothel, who is in love with the sister, is kicked out basically when they are like, all right, you can be with her for the time, but we're going to charge you an outrageous fee because the brothel is owned by like the dude, like the wife of the sister, or the husband of the sister, not the wife, sorry. It's really confusing. So in a rage, the wannabe lover strikes down his former master, thinking it is Oya's sister's husband at the same time as Aimon. So, like, it's really confusing because it wasn't clear to me when I was reading this and typing this up if, like, they both strike, like, it's the father-in-law that they're talking to, like, the father-in-law that Aimon kills. Like, it's very hard to understand, for me at least it was. But, because then, I don't know why they bring it, but it's at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then the two men conspire together to cover up the murder, and then they kind of, like, trick the women into being like, oh yeah, we don't know who killed your dad, but we're going to find the killer and bring him to justice.
Got it.
So, then we get introduced really quickly to a third party, which is another woman who is in love with Aimon.
Okay.
But she's not, like, Aimon's wife is very beautiful. So, she's in love with Aimon, and, like, basically, I can't separate them because look at her, look at me. So her and her family plot to disfigure Oya so that Aimon will leave his wife and get with her.
I see.
So, yeah, it's a very confusing.
This is very dramatic.
It's very dramatic and it's very confusing at the start. It gets a little easier to follow after I've set up all these characters.
Okay.
So one day, Aimon is walking like in the village neighborhood, and the woman that's in love with him, who's, I don't know why I didn't write her name down, probably because I was like, I'm not even gonna try to pronounce it later. But so she gives him a face cream.
Okay.
And says, this is for your wife. you know, just use it. And what they don't know, neither Imon or the wife who will eventually use it, is that it's been poisoned.
Oh.
Surprise, surprise.
Poisoned face cream.
Yes.
That's a new one.
Yeah. So Imon takes it, gives it to his wife. You know, initially she's like, no, I don't need it. I'm good. And then I guess eventually she's like, well, it's not going to hurt to try it. Mm-hmm. Like, so she tries it and her face immediately becomes scarred.
Oh, well then.
Yeah. So she continues to use it because, you know, except for the first usage, Imon's like reacts as you would, but doesn't explain, like, I don't know why, but your face is now not that good, not as good looking as it was.
Doesn't say anything, just lets it keep going.
Yeah, well, he just starts like getting more cold and distant.
Mm.
Yeah, so doesn't say anything. Like, as stated previously, like, they're not on great terms in their relationship.
Yeah, he sounds like a real peach.
Yeah. So she keeps using it, thinking, like, oh, if I just use more of this face cream, like, that'll make it better.
Fix the problem.
It doesn't. It obviously makes it worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Until eventually, it's so bad that Imon can't physically stand the sight of his wife.
Oh.
So he asks his brother-in-law, the brothel owner, to rape his wife so that way he will have an honorable reason to divorce her.
Excuse me?
Because she would have committed, she would have laid with another man, willing or not. Yes, I'm aware. The owner initially agrees, and then before he's able to act on it, he's like, no, I can't do this. This is wrong.
Good.
And he tells her, he tells the wife, Oya, you know, what's going on? Like, not like the whole thing about, oh, your husband hired me to yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But he tells her what's going on. He hands her a mirror so she can see her face. And she sees, like, the disfigurement that's occurred because of the cream. So realizing that she's been lied to by Imon, she grabs a sword that they have in the house and basically attempts to get her revenge. Because she's like, this is the guy that's been giving this cream to me. He's been doing this. This has been over a course of months.
All right, so he must be the one who's...
So clearly he's doing this to me and I don't know why.
Right.
Yeah. So she goes to go exact her revenge. The brothel owner tries to stop her, is unable to do so. Well, he is able to do so because as he's like struggling with her, she like trips or something and she ends up stabbing herself in the throat with the sword.
Oh, geez.
So as she bleeds out, as she's bleeding out, she curses her husband, unsurprisingly. The brothel owner at this point, I think, has left, not reported anything to the police, because whatever. So Imon comes home, discovers the body, and tosses it into a nearby river, acting like nothing's happened.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he's done that, he's acting like nothing's happened. You know, people, I guess, would ask about where his wife is. He's like, oh, she ran away, yada, yada, something like that, you know. So he becomes quickly engaged to the woman that was in love with him.
Sure.
Right?
As you do.
As you do. So eventually, Oya comes back as a ghost.
Ah, yes.
Yes, we've gotten to the ghost before. So and her appearance is she's wearing like a white kimono like you would for burial. But her form is really bloated. Her face is disfigured. Mm-hmm. Like, she's got, like, half a head of hair. Like, it's just a really...
Yeah.
Yeah. Gross-looking sight. And she haunts... She haunts Imon. And on their wedding night, you get... Basically, like, every time, like, he goes to, like, kiss her, her face appears. So he stops. And eventually, it gets to the point where he kills her, seeing the face of his dead wife. And he then kills his new wife's grandfather. I don't know why they explicitly say that, but he does that.
Okay.
So she continues, and Oya continues to terrorize him as he's just like, he kills everybody that, like, was a part of the plot to do this to her.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's only Aemon's left, basically.
Even, like, the wannabe lover of the sister?
We're getting to that.
Okay. I was like, wait.
Yeah, he's coming back into the mix. He's going back into the mix.
I thought he was somewhere.
So he's killed a whole bunch of people.
Yes.
And I guess my understanding is he's, like, staying outside, like, that family's estate or, like, the estate of where or whatever. And that man.
The wannabe lover.
The wannabe lover. Sees him.
Mm-hmm.
And the man basically blackmails Aemon into handing some sort of document over.
Okay.
And then they split.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the document was. My guess is because he was like, maybe because of like how it's set up, because he was like the last male of the family, like the oldest.
He probably got some pull over, or maybe he can tell the sister.
Hey, you're no longer married to your husband. Now you're married to this guy or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So basically, Aemon is fishing by the river to probably get dinner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees the wannabe lover talking to the husband of Oya's sister, and they struggle over a document.
Mm. It's
the same document that he handed him. I would assume so. Yeah. So the husband accepts the document, the blackmailer goes off, and as he's attempting to force himself upon Oya's sister, her husband appears and accuses her of adultery, but I'm not sure, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So eventually the sister's like, okay, I acted dishonorably or whatever, even though she didn't, she was resisting.
Mm-hmm.
But she resigns herself to death and convinces the men to kill her. So it's not clear, based on how the story goes, that whether or not they do.
Okay.
But I'm guessing they do because she leaves a farewell note where the wannabe lover finds out that she was his younger sister.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So the overwhelming shame and guilt from killing that innocent man way back at the start of the play causes the wannabe lover to commit suicide.
Okay.
Yes. So the husband of the sister, Avoya's sister, like, has kind of figured out everything at this point, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he'll come in later. Well, I jumped ahead. So all this time, Oimon's been haunted by Oya. And he's just like, he's seen her everywhere. He's been driven insane,
mm-hmm.
to the point where he's like, okay, I'm going to just retreat to this isolated mountain spot. I'm not going to interact with anybody else because I'm just going to see her face and kill them. Like,
yep. No, I'm already seeing the, the different movies that I've seen. Yeah. I can already see those parts that are.
Yeah. So as I stated, his grip on sanity and reality is dissolved so far away that, yeah, now he can't separate what he's seen from what's real and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And Oya continues just to twist that knife there, and she just becomes more and more relentless with the hauntings and that. So the sister's husband locates Aemon in an attempt to get vengeance for the murder of the father-in-law and everything else that transpired. He's plotting to kill him.
Sure, because it's all his fault. His, right?
Well, I mean,
not really, but like,
right.
I'm sure he's like, oh, it's all his fault. If he hadn't done this,
well, if he hadn't,
nothing else would have happened.
Yeah, if he hadn't killed our father-in-law, like, yeah.
Yeah, he set the whole thing
in motion.
Therefore, it's his fault.
Yeah. So, as he's approaching him, he sees, like, just how depraved Aemon's become, and he ends up killing him, both out of pity and also to sate his thirst for vengeance.
Sure.
And that is how it ends.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it just ends. So my guess is, I don't know, if, like, it doesn't say if Oya, like, lets go, moves on, or if she like continues to
haunt.
Yes.
My guess is she's still there.
Yes. So I'm going to take a break here. Now we've got just a little bit more, and then we will be done for this episode. Alright, so we're back. So yes, we've now all heard the badly butchered pronunciation of people's names and stuff.
Have you ever seen, I think it's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, that new movie.
I haven't seen the latest movie.
But like, it came out a couple years ago, because I was still in Texas.
I haven't seen that movie, I know which.
There's one of the ghosts or the stories, I'm pretty sure it's based, like the face and the blood.
Yeah, I've seen videos on it.
She started describing that, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's that lady, and she's terrifying!
Yeah, I've never watched it. I think it's on Netflix.
Is it now?
It might be, I'm not sure.
I remember I saw it in theaters with my sister, and it was so good. I thought it would be really cheesy, but it was so good.
Yeah, see, I thought that too, which is why I think I watched somebody do a review of it. And after the review, I was like, this kind of looks cool, but I'm like, I'm never going to watch this on my own, really, because I'm not.
It's actually really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it later today. But anyway,
yeah,
that's nothing to do with the story. It made me think of that. Oh.
Yeah, all right. So, obviously, because I'm a boring person, one of the things that I found interesting was the historical basis for this story.
Sure.
Yes. So the play is loosely based on two separate murders.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fascinating.
Yes. So one is where two servants kill their master, like they conspire together and they kill their master. And another one is where a samurai discovers that his concubine is having an affair with another servant.
Hmm.
The samurai then has the couple nailed to a board and thrown into the river.
Oh my.
Yes.
Okay then.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So now we are going to talk about Oya's ghost.
Okay, let's talk about the ghost.
Yes. So she is categorized as an Onro,
mm-hmm.
which is a specific type of ghost for vengeance.
Hmm. Is that similar to like the probably like a lady in white kind of thing?
I don't think so, because I feel like
not necessarily a lady in white, but like the late, they tend to be in white, but the ones that are around the water and like they kind of try to take vengeance kind of thing.
It might be based off of that. I'm not sure.
I don't know. There's a few different types of lady in white though, so that kind of gets confusing.
Yeah, that's why.
But they're the ones that are typically like, I think they're most often seen like either by water or like on a desolate like highway or something, and they're like, they try to get men to get in the car with them. Or go with them somewhere and, like, cheat because...
It might be.
That kind of thing. And then they take vengeance because clearly they're a cheater kind of thing.
It might be. I know there's so many ghosts that intersect in so many different cultures.
I know. It gets kind of confusing.
Yeah.
It might not be a lady. It might not be some people that call, but they tend to be, like, not.
Yeah. They tend to be more like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
you're dishonorable, you're bad, we're going to punish you for it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a common trope amongst...
Yeah.
Types of ghosts. I just can't think of it. I thought it was... Maybe not. I might have the name wrong, but...
Yeah. So, this type of ghost interacts with the physical world in a much more significant way than other types. So, it's possible.
Okay.
This specific one, and I don't think it's all of them, but the specific one, usually depicted wearing, like, a white dress with a long, ragged face.
Yeah.
Like,
all the hair.
Yeah. This is also, like, for the face, like, for the play itself. Like, this is how they have her.
Yeah.
And they, through a makeup effect, they make it so the left eye appears to be drooping down the face to show the effects of the poison. And she is partially bald with hair that falls out. Like, I know in the play itself, like, they would have somebody, like, under the stage that would, like, where the ghost is standing. Like, they would put, like, clumps, like, they put clumps of hair in from under the stage, too.
Oh, how weird, but that's kind of cool.
To simulate, yeah, that's, yeah. So, because of how influential this story was, this specific ghost has a burial spot.
What?
Yeah. So, she's buried at a temple in Sugamo.
Okay.
And her reported death date is February 22nd, 1636.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, several accidents, injuries, and even deaths have been reported by those attempting to depict her. To depict her, her right. story. In fact, it is now...
So now you want to tell it on the podcast?
Yes.
Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
If I see her in my house later today, I'm going to be very unhappy with you.
So, in fact, it is now a tradition... Well, I'm a non-believer, so it's fine.
For you? It's fine for you? We're in my house!
I'm the one that told the story.
Okay, well, she can follow you home, too.
I have a lot of Japanese spirits after me. Listen, I got this one now. I've got the...
You got this one, please, buddy.
Yep.
But there's another one. I can't think
I
of
it. I think I have another one, yeah. Anyway.
Fine.
Anyway.
There'll be a wig for you.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
First time I'll have girls in my house. And then you want to murder me.
That might not be a first, but in your house, maybe.
Yeah. So... yeah, so in fact, now it's a tradition to make a pilgrimage to her grave and ask permission for her to retell her story. I obviously did not do that.
Clearly.
And this is especially true for the actor that's assuming her role.
That would make sense.
Yes. So yeah, that is my story for the week of the Yotsuya Kaiden.
I'm glad that you decided you needed to invite a, like, like a revenge spirit into my house. That was so great.
You're welcome.
Well, yeah.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. So, yeah, that's all I got. This is a shorter one, but...
I think it's really fascinating, though. Like, I didn't know that there was, like, a set... Or, like, one main... story, really. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, actually. Yeah. So that is, now that you, like, said it, like, I know exactly, I think everybody probably knows exactly.
Yeah, knows that trope, they're like.
Yeah, or they've seen at least one movie or something, like, they know exactly what you're talking about. Like, they picture it in their heads, probably, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's really cool. Good job. Thank you. I can't congratulate you on not butchering names, because I have no idea how to say any of them. So.
Yeah, because we both know I probably did.
Sure you did, but that's fine.
Yeah.
You tried.
I tried my best. Once again, like I said at the top.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm a good-hearted idiot.
Well, I am not an idiot, but I am very bad with names.
Which doesn't make it okay, but it does mean that there's no malice behind it. So.
At least you tried.
Yes. I tried and I did it in good faith, which is all anybody can ask of me.
Exactly.
So, yeah, on that note, that's all I've got for tonight. Do you have anything you want to add?
I think we're good.
All right. Well, on that note, I've been Jeff.
And I've been Rachel.
This has been Grandma Tell Me a Scary Story.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Grandma.